This time of the afternoon, it's time for the Israel Report. Today is no different. Today I'll be chatting to Eli Cohen. He's a journalist and an author, and we will be discussing all of the issues making news in Israel this afternoon. Eli, shalom lecha. Thanks for being with us on Chai FM.
My pleasure. How are you?
Well, thank you. There's lots of news coming out of Israel. Surprise, surprise. I'm just going to take you through the headlines one by one. Times of Israel reporting the following. Opposition boycotts vote as political October the 7th probe passes first reading 59-0. Are the government hell-bent on pursuing their version of the probe into the October the 7th massacre?
Right. So do we want to look at that?
Yep.
Okay. Basically, everybody agrees that there has to be a very serious investigation into what happened.
Yeah.
The problem is what is the best vehicle to do the kind of job that's done. One of the highest vehicles for doing this is a panel that's actually led by the head of the Supreme Court with other people appointed to this panel. And what the government has been trying to do is to set up an alternative panel, which is something that's also happened in the past, which would be populated with universally accepted experts. One of the reasons being that, A, there is little confidence in the Supreme Court and the head of the Supreme Court. And number two, that the Supreme Court itself needs to be part of the investigation for possible complicity also in the atrocities. And so now this has turned into a political issue. In other words, it could have been solved very easily if the opposition would have been really concerned about getting this off the table. They could have been part of setting up a panel that would have been accepted to 90% of the Israelis. But instead, they're trying to force it to be this judicial panel, which is opposed by both the government and probably half or more than half of the Israeli population.
So clearly this is a very divisive issue, and clearly you're either for it or against it. People must have very strong opinions either way. Why are they rushing it and pushing it through now when there are elections in October? Why don't they just wait?
Well, first of all, pushing things through is something that pushing things through in the last minute is a typical Israeli maneuver. It happens at the end of every government. The previous government also, they pushed through controversial things the last minute, whether it was appointing a new head of the army who, you know, turned out to be a catastrophe, or giving away gas fields to Lebanon without approval of the Knesset and things like that. So it's something that's always done. It's nothing special. It's really undesirable. But that's the way the Israeli system works.
It's giving us the impression that it's a country kind of at war with itself, its own institutions. Just can't sit down and arrive at a civilized compromise. It's just crazy.
Right. That's not the way it works. I mean, I think there's another question that could be asked, and that is, and that's something that people who are objective are asking, is, hey, you've been in power for 4 years. This war has been going on for 3 years, okay? It's settled down in the past half a year or a year.
Yeah.
Why wait till now? Why didn't you do this already if you couldn't find consensus to have everybody part of it? Why didn't you push this through a year ago already?
Interesting.
I think that's a more...
Very interesting. Yeah, I want to go on to another story making headlines in Israel today. I know very little about this issue, and please enlighten me. Jordan is apparently fuming at the Israeli refusal to renew expired water deal. I mean, I know Israel was supplying Jordan with water. Apparently, they are so water poor, they are absolutely dependent on it. What's going on? What's the backstory here? Why would Israel want to stop this?
First of all, I don't think the Jordan's fuming. I think they're evaporating. besides that pun, what happens is that Israel is also not rich in water. The fact that Israel doesn't have a water problem is because Israel acted very intelligently and responsibly and created
desalination
plants that are serving their purpose. Now Jordan also has recourse to the sea, to the Red Sea, and in theory could have taken that into hand more. Instead, Israel supplied them. Actually, they were supplying them even with our fresh water from the Kinneret, from the Sea of Galilee, and then also water since they're not drawing water from the Sea of Galilee because also it's too low now. It's purely desalination. But Israel was supplying them with this, I think, from what I understand, even at a discounted rate. In other words, Israelis might have been consuming water at a higher rate than we were supplying it to the Jordanians. Now, the Jordanians the past couple years have been very poor neighbors of peace. Unfortunately, that's been the case also with Egypt, who also haven't been such great, such nice neighbors. But the Jordanians, there's been a lot of internal anti-Israel posturing and stuff, and Israel said, "Hey, you can't keep cursing and spitting at us and expecting us to keep doing you favors." So Israel is still continuing to supply the water, but they're not giving them the added, because the original agreement, which was already terminated insofar as the time that it was set, they added on the quantity of water because the Jordanian population is also growing and their water needs are growing. So they added on to that. But now it's a question of saying, hey, we're not going to keep supplying you whatever you want at this discounted rate and while you continue to be unneighborly towards us. It's good that Israel, if you take a look at every other nation in the world, none of them are ashamed to flex their muscles for their own national interests. The only country in the world who thinks twice about doing that is Israel, and we could keep getting dumped on, by the whole world as being nasty and genocidal, et cetera, et cetera.
The next story I want to talk to you about, sometimes you think you've just woken up and live in a parallel universe. I believe that Trump is now saying he'll certainly consider the sale of F-35 airplanes to Turkey. Has he not been reading what Erdogan has been saying and his bellicose approach towards Israel? Is everything just so unbelievably transactional? Is it all about just the dollars in the account at the end of the day?
It's a good question, and I don't think anybody can answer what's really in Trump's mind. Obviously, transactional is something that seems logical. It also seems that Trump acts on a very personal kind of basis. Like if you have a good rapport with him, or you do what he says or do what he likes, then he's likely also to reciprocate. And he said a number of times in the past that whatever I ask of Erdogan, he does. Whatever, I request, he's, So part of it is, maybe knowing how to finesse the president, or stroke his ego or whatever. I don't have any other explanation other than that. I mean, the fact is that Turkey, which is more and more turning into a belligerent Islamist state, jailing opposition politicians, jailing journalists, jailing, taking over the magistrate there. And I mean, it's what's happened to Turkey in the past 10, 15 years is unbelievable. On the other hand, America, also the Democratic Party, also Biden's administration, they also were going hand in hand. I mean, Turkey is, by and large, is playing the game of America's friend, but they're no friend of Europe and they're no friend of NATO, even they're a member of it. And I hope at the end of the day that America does not give them the advanced technology or engines that would help them jump a league insofar as their Air Force capabilities.
Eli, final issue that I want to raise with you this afternoon. It was reported on various platforms that the Hamas dissolution of the Gaza government, according to an Israeli expert, is just a trick to keep their weapons. What have they decided? Why? And what's the backstory?
Yeah, it's a pure Pallywood. Again, it's part of what's known as taqiya in Arabic. It's lying and playing along as if with no intention of really. And you can read between the lines, and they say, you know, their idea is to cooperate seemingly with the interim government there. Basically, they said, all right, we'll keep our people in place. Okay, these are Hamas people who are running these different offices. We will pull back the ministers. You know, you can appoint whoever you want, but everybody knows that the people who are signing the contracts, you know, who are doing the actual, you know, work in the field, they're Hamas people. And they're trying to obfuscate what's going on with the weapon collection and destruction and all that. So they're playing a game like, yeah, we're cooperating, and quid pro quo, now get the Israelis to withdraw from the perimeter and the yellow line and stuff like that, you know, and that's what's behind it. It's just pure BS.
Eli Cohen, thank you so much. Toda rabba lecha. I appreciate having you on Chai FM this afternoon.